from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I tell you, one of the easiest bets that I think you could make, city limits. The first Monday night football game.
San Francisco and the Jets.
The Jets just announced Aaron Rodgers is not going to play in this final preseason game, which means he will not have played a single down of football, essentially, since last year on the first Monday night when, like, four plays in, he tore his Achilles.
Which basically means he hasn't played any football in 2 years.
Right, exactly. Anyway, speaking of football, it's Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's go to the hotline and talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette who covers the Steelers. That, of course, would be Brian Batko. Brian, how are you doing today? You look so chipper and cheery outside. It's a beautiful day out.
It is, yeah. The crickets are chirping. The birds are doing their thing. And I was just going to say, though, Paul, I mean, you and I both work for the Post-Gazette. I don't think either of us are on the front page of the sports section today. Only one person privy to this call right now was, and that was your fine producer there, City Limits.
That's right. The whole wiffle ball.
Let's
thing.
Go, Baldwin Wiffle Ball front page, Post Gazette Sports today.
So, Baldwin Wiffle Ball Group. I mean, Brian, are you a wiffle ball? Can you play wiffle ball?
I haven't played in a long time, but we've got a pretty good yard for it, and we've got. I mean, I have 2 kids, 2 and 4 years old. We've got a lot of kids in the neighborhood. I could see us having a big wiffle ball game breaking out within the next 5 to 10 years. Hopefully that'll become a regular thing. Maybe I will even enlist Austin and his buddies to, like, come give us a tutorial on how to play the game the right way.
I would love to, Brian. Sign me up.
Well, again, I think that's the key. Here's the question is, Brian, could you put together a team that could beat the all-stars of the Baldwin Wiffle Ball League?
I don't know. I mean, I could put together a team of pretty good, like, rec league softball players, because I've already done that, but this is probably going to be a situation like you've seen the argument between the US flag football quarterback guy who says he's better in that sport than Patrick Mahomes would be because he knows the intricacies of playing flag football. Mahomes, I think, was sort of jokingly taking a shot back at him on Twitter over that comment. So I guess it'd be kind of something like that. You know, we might have better, like, athletes, and I could probably recruit some big, strong dudes who just touch the ball and it goes. But I imagine there's more nuances to playing the game.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that. And, of course, his group, clearly they play, you know, they play a lot, so they probably have all the nuances down, correct?
Yeah, we play. Yeah,
they'll be throwing the knuckleballs, the dropout, the curves, like everything. We'd probably just be up there whiffing.
Yeah, a lot of guys do that in the couple of leagues that we play in, yeah. Pretty good pitching in the leagues.
They think they're just going to step up and touch the ball like they did when they were 10 playing wiffle ball, and then all of a sudden they're swinging it air.
Yeah, who knows? Well, nevertheless, I would say that the Steelers have accomplished most of what they were looking to accomplish in this preseason. Would you agree with that?
Maybe. I think there's still some major questions about the quarterback play and the offensive line play. It's always a matter of perspective, how much you think those can actually be answered in these preseason games, because I think with Russell Wilson, he's got enough of a resume and list of credentials that even if he doesn't look the part again Saturday in Detroit, a certain subset of people are just going to brush that off and say he'll be fine when the real games start. I mean, he himself has brushed it off twice now since the last game against the Bills. I mean, post-game, he didn't sound the least bit concerned. And yesterday, he sounded even more optimistic about everything turning around for this offense. So I don't know that that position has been answered definitively, but there are always also going to be people who believe Justin Fields is the better option because of the ceiling and the upside. I'm just very curious, Paul. I hope both play a lot Saturday in Detroit. I hope we're not just watching a lot of Kyle Allen dinking and dunking in the third and fourth quarter. I still want to see quite a bit out of both those quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, I would say that we probably will see that in the second half, won't we? Mostly Kyle Allen.
We'll find out from Mike Tomlin today after practice. I mean, all we really know at this point is Russell Wilson said he's starting and we're all playing, is how he put it. I assume he meant his offensive unit. And if that's the case, then you know, obviously they're not going to sit down Justin Fields, I don't think, when this could be your last chance to take a long look at him until and if things go awry in the regular season with the pole position starter. So, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the old fourth preseason game, at least Tomlin said it won't be on Tuesday, where a bunch of no-name guys who were just added in the last week or two are tackling dummies and ramming heads into the Lions equivalents of those players. It sounds like this is going to be kind of the old dress rehearsal. And yeah, I mean, regardless of how good they may or may not say they feel about their quarterbacks, this is going to be their last chance to evaluate them, their strengths and their weaknesses before week one in Atlanta, where every snap actually starts to matter.
Well, I think that's the key, is that, and we were talking about this with City Limits a little bit. The Steelers, I look at their offense and this is what I see, Brian. I'm really trying to be, it's hope springs eternal in the preseason and everybody's going to be a Super Bowl team and everything is great and everything's wonderful. I see a team that's got an offensive line that essentially has three rookies starting on it. I mean, I know Broderick Jones is not technically a rookie, but if he moves to the left, he essentially is going to be, you know, playing on the left side for the first time, really extended period of time. You've got obviously two other actual rookies on the offensive line. So, I mean, there's going to be a learning curve. I don't know how long it's going to take, but there's going to be a learning curve. I see a receiving core that's got one guy that scares people. And I see quarterbacks that City Limits and I went through the entire league that we ranked probably the Steelers quarterback position about 20th in the NFL. So am I being too critical and too hard on this team? Am I missing something? Is there something more that I need to see? Because it feels to me like this is going to be more of the same kind of basically average or a little below average offense that they've been.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would envision too, Paul. And they just have to hope that the whole will be greater than the sum of its parts, with Arthur Smith coming in here being an upgrade over Matt Canada. I think a lot of people would tell you, hey, if they were able to win 10 last year with Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph, then certainly they can do that with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, if not more. The running game, I mean, I think that's still certainly a strength. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've been saying for a long time now when people were asking about Brandon Ayuk as a train rolls behind me. This is where I could start saying a whole lot of crazy stuff about the Steelers and nobody will hear it, I guess. But no, I mean, I think even when people were asking about trading for Ayuk, whether that makes them a Super Bowl contender, I didn't think so because I still feel like the combination of not really knowing exactly what you're going to have under center and, yeah, even a talented, you know, they've invested in the offensive line. But what is that combination really going to get you out of the gate? There's probably going to be some growing pains, to say the least, and we're already witnessing some of that with Troy Fautanu and Broderick Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. So are we to believe, Brian, or at least when or whatever, when are we to believe that Broderick Jones and Fautanu will be
Fautanu
and Broderick Jones will be the starting tackles? When do we think that will actually happen?
Well, my answer is a lot different now than it would have been before we saw Fautanu week one struggle a little bit at right tackle against the Texans. Then the knee injury, which now, I mean, that's going to be the only preseason film he gets out there, because I don't anticipate him playing Saturday in Detroit. So you're going to be taking a leap of faith with, okay, I guess you could try to get a gauge of where he is in that week of practice in between, or 2 weeks of practice in between the last preseason game and the regular season opener. But that's just a lot to speculate on with him. And then I think you enter week one in a situation where, okay, if he is still having trouble adjusting from left tackle in college to right tackle, now he's taking his lumps. Is that going to hurt the guy's confidence? All those things, I mean, you probably need to bake that into your assessment of him in the draft. But I just think because there's so much unknown still, I think it's going to be Dan Moore and Broderick Jones week one. I just can't imagine them rolling Fautanu out there against the Falcons, not being able to see much in the preseason. If they do, it would certainly be a departure from their usual handling of rookies, and I guess it would be a real big vote of confidence for this year's first round pick.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing there, is how long is that going to happen? And then, of course, my favorite topic is the second receiver, and of course, there's still the whole thing with the 49ers receiver floating out there. But do you expect the Steelers to, if it's not Brandon Ayuk, find another receiver between now and the beginning of the season, either from the waiver wire or, you know, even via a trade of somebody that was going to get cut or something like that?
I honestly don't, Paul. I mean, I think these guys have played pretty well in camp. I think they've done just about everything asked of them in the preseason, too, from Van Jefferson to Scotty Miller. You know, Calvin Austin, I think the jury's still out on him and how effective he can be as a regular contributor at his size in the NFL. But, I mean, even some of the down-the-liner guys, I think, have made plays when they've gotten chances, whether that's Quez Watkins or Dez Fitzpatrick. And, you know, if they can get Roman Wilson healthy by the start of the regular season, then that's another wild card to throw in the mix as a rookie third-rounder who looked like he was finally starting to get up to speed a little bit at this level before he went down on the first day of pads in St. Vincent College. So I think that they feel okay about that group. I think if there's an opportunity to clearly upgrade with a player they really like, such as Brandon Ayuk, then they would do that. But I don't think they're going to get held hostage because they feel that disappointed in the receiving core they've assembled, if that makes sense. I don't think they're going to go reaching for guys. I feel like with what they want to be anyway, offensively, throwing a lot to George Pickens, throwing a lot to Pat Freiermuth, running it a lot with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, I think that does lessen the significance of that number two receiver to a decent degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that's an interesting discussion. If you think that they have enough, that they don't need to do that, so that's important. But
That's probably a discussion they're having every day after practice.
Yeah.
They're going over being on the field, the front office, the coaches, the scouts. How do they think they're coming along with some of those players I just mentioned? And yeah, I mean, they'll scour as they always do, but we know what's going on in San Francisco is not a scouring situation. They've got pretty much everything in place that they would need to make it happen. It's just a matter of whether it will happen.
If both quarterbacks get through this weekend healthy and, you know, are capable of playing and fully cleared and all the other stuff, so there's no health concerns at all, is Russell Wilson going to be the starter regardless of what happens this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. But to me, that's just such a big if with the health. I mean, I want to see him able to roll out a little bit with that calf, escape some pressure in the pocket, be the Russell Wilson whose mobility and athleticism and quickness has allowed him to offset the undersized label that has been on him since the moment he was drafted out of Wisconsin. So, I mean, all of those things were sort of his superpowers when he was a younger guy in the league. And if you take that away, now he's a shorter than average NFL quarterback, and he's still got the deep ball. He's still got the veteran experience and the wherewithal, and he's seen a lot, but that's I think going to be a real problem for him if he's a statue back there and at that size, and you've got, you know, a team that, yeah, it's okay at receiver, but it's not like you've got a multitude of weapons who all you have to do is play point guard. I mean, I think you still need a certain level of quarterback play from this group. So I think he's going to be the guy week one, but man, the more that Justin Fields shows off his freelancing ability, and you know, how much did Mike Tomlin bang the drum for quarterback mobility starting with the late days of Ben Roethlisberger here? I think there could become a time where he's just too enamored by the upside with Fields, and that'll be an ongoing storyline, obviously, throughout this season. Every game will be a referendum on the Russell Wilson era and how soon the Justin Fields era should begin.
Yeah, if Justin Fields doesn't play this year, say Russell Wilson stays healthy and Justin Fields doesn't play this year, will there ever actually be a Justin Fields era?
I would think not, because in that scenario, that'll mean Russell Wilson's probably playing well enough to not just keep his job for this whole season, but show the Steelers enough to bring him back next season and continue to operate with him at quarterback. So, I mean, I think they are putting themselves in a little bit of a win-win position here if they start Russell Wilson from week one in Atlanta, because like I just said, he either gets the job done for the most part, and you know, you feel like you made a great move getting him on the cheap, and you know, then you'll figure out a good number to match his value to you in the offseason, or it doesn't work out, it cost you basically nothing, and then you turn the page to Fields and you get a chance to see what a recent first-round pick who's 10 years younger can still do and how much you can still work with him and maybe win with him in the NFL. So, I mean, Fields will be the ultimate spark off the bench for this team, I think, assuming he is does not surprise us all and win the job out of the preseason. He will be the ultimate, hey, this guy's going to be a shot in the arm. He'll run. He'll extend plays. He'll make some wow plays. Yeah, there might be some head-scratching plays too. But if they're in a week four, week five, week six situation where things are getting kind of flat and stale with Russell Wilson, man, it's not like, you know, no disrespect to Mason Rudolph, who did provide a spark at the end of last season, but it's not like you're throwing a Mason Rudolph type guy in there. Justin Fields has all the talent in the world. We do know that much.
And I think that's the thing that is going to be something we'll watch all season long. I don't think they're going to fall out of it far enough, right, where they can just tank anyway or whatever. They always seem to hang in there. But I think that we would all like to see a situation of where Justin Fields plays well enough that he merits, you know, another contract or whatever. And because he's young enough, he could be their guy for the next 6 or 7 years. But, Brian, my biggest fear is that at the end of this year, the Steelers are going to be no closer to having their quarterback of the next 5 years than they were, you know, before they signed these two guys.
That's certainly possible, Paul. I mean, that's just that is the world of the NFL right now. I mean, if you don't have your guy, you're probably looking for your guy at that position. And the haves versus the have-nots at quarterbacks, unfortunately, the deck is pretty stacked against the Steelers in the AFC. I think it's a little bit easier to kind of maneuver around not having an absolute freak of nature at that position in the NFC, but that's not where they are. And, you know, the other thing I think that's probably worth noting, or at least keeping in mind as we go through week to week with the quarterback decision that Mike Tomlin may or may not have to make, is I believe it's a conditional pick for Fields with the Bears that goes from a sixth to a fourth if he plays 51% of the snaps. So I'm not saying you're going to sacrifice two rounds if he's clearly the guy or clearly not the guy with Russell Wilson, but as you are starting to debate how long that leash should be, if it's close, maybe that could be a tiebreaker of sorts for the Steelers for when they would make a move at quarterback, because it's not like that's an insignificant draft resource difference.
Couple more real quick for you, Brian. The secondary for the Steelers, the starting secondary is going to be when they play Atlanta two weeks from now. What is the first unit of secondary that's going to be on the field?
All right. Right cornerback, Dante Jackson. Free safety, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Strong safety, Deshaun Elliott. Nickelback, I'll still go with Beanie Bishop. And then left cornerback, Joey Porter Jr. But I think if there's any position on the roster that's somewhat thin at the moment, it would be that slot corner role, with Bishop being nicked up, although he sounded optimistic that he's going to be able to play Saturday and hopefully put the finishing touches on winning that job. It's just there's not a lot behind him because so many guys got banged up in practice. So that might be another one where they go to the waiver wire and say, you look kind of like Desmond King last year on cut down day. We need to get someone with some more experience, at least to bridge that gap until Cam Sutton works his way back into the equation. But even then, you know, missing the first eight games, probably be tough for him to become a regular factor, even the second that he returns too.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Did I see something? Did Peyton Wilson get a little bit of an injury setback? What's his status?
Yeah, he was evaluated for a concussion during and after the game Saturday, and there's no like injury report or official concussion protocol updates from the team in the preseason like there would be in the regular season. But I mean, just from being around the team in the locker room, I'm getting the vibe that Wilson would be out of that protocol if that were something that we were getting updates on every day from Steelers PR. I think you'll see him out there in Detroit, but even if you don't, I mean, he's somebody who's done enough in training camp in the first two games that I think he's clearly going to be someone who has a role in the defense, even if it's just certain sub packages as a rookie who loves to fly to the ball and loves to try to make plays.
Yeah. Well, and nevertheless, the game against Detroit will be the final chance for the Steelers to get it all right. Do you think that if in the first series or two, Russell Wilson takes the offense right down the field and they score, that'll be it for him? That'll be enough for Mike Tomlin to say, okay, we've seen enough?
I don't know about one drive, but I think if the first one looks that good and sharp and crisp, maybe he gets a second one just because it, you know, get your feet wet a little bit more. But no, I think if he's looking like Kenny Pickett of the 2023 preseason, they won't leave him out there too long.
Right. And then of course, you'll get a couple series of Fields. And then, of course, Cal Allen. There isn't a fourth quarterback in camp, is there?
Well, there was John Rhys Plumlee, but he's basically more of a wide receiver and kick returner than these days. So, unfortunately, time's running out for him to get any preseason reps.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I was looking around, scouring the wire, and I see all kinds of former, I don't know, what do we call them, Steeler depth quarterbacks bouncing around. Mason Rudolph led a touchdown drive last week, and what's the astronaut's name?
Josh Dobbs. Dobbs played well.
He played well. I mean, you know, Mitch Trubisky played against the Steelers. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we'll let you go. We've got the train in the background, so that's not good for anybody. Thank you, Brian, so much. And when do you guys actually get to talk to Tomlin?
All right, we'll see you guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you. That's all right. Don't answer my question. I didn't want to answer for it anyway.
He'll definitely talk at some point this week. I mean, I think he already
today,
has spoken.
I think he said today. I was like, when are you guys going to get to talk to him today? But he didn't hear me because of the train.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's that show with Screamin' A. Smith and them?
Screamin' A. Smith. Yep.
What's that?
First Take.
First Take, they just did a segment. I was trying to put the sound up, and then I put the sound up for a few minutes and realized I just had no interest in what they were actually saying. But they had a list up there that said top five teams in the NFL that need a 2-week notice. And listening to what they were saying, presumably it is top five teams that don't appear to be ready for the season. They need to understand that there's 2 weeks to go before the season, right?
It's a good topic.
Number one on the list, your Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's a great topic.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers. And while I didn't catch the whole gist of it all, questions about the quarterback and the offensive line and the receiver position are why the Steelers were number one on that list, followed, I think, the Cowboys were maybe number two. And then is the guy that sits on the right, is that Dan Orlovsky? Is that who
that
is? Okay. He said that the 49ers should be in there because of the uncertainty with Ayuk and Trent Williams.
I agree with that. And I guess, is Christian McCaffrey practicing fully? Is he fully participating? There's a lot of guys that are not fully a go at 49ers camp.
Right.
They seem to be stuck in limbo. Like, the Steelers are completely stuck in limbo with everything. They're one of two teams that have not named a starting quarterback. Their offensive line is currently a mess. Who's going to be on the left side? Who's going to be on the right side of the line? Again, you don't know about the quarterback and Brandon Ayuk wide receivers. I mean, the Steelers are not in a good position right now. Yeah. Do I feel better about this year's team than last year's team? A little bit. The bar isn't very high.
Well, here's the thing. What are your thoughts on Jahan Dotson?
For what they gave up, Philadelphia gave up a third-round pick and a couple of sevens. They got Dotson and a fifth. I don't know. I like to think that when you're drafting in the NFL draft, first through third-round picks are the ones that I think, okay, these are the ones that the Steelers usually hit on, do well. Everything after that, fourth through seventh, trade them. The Steelers don't hit on a lot of fourth-round draft picks. As compared
well,
to a lot of other organizations.
My point is...
But yes, would I make this trade? Yes, I would have for Jahan Dotson.
Do you think Jahan... Is it Jahan or Jahan?
Jahan Dotson.
Jahan. Jahan.
Jahan.
Jahan, yes. Jahan Dotson, would you have made this trade for him? 49 receptions, 518 yards, 10.6 per catch, 4 touchdowns. 24 years old, obviously, so he's still young. This is his third year in the league, so he's still cheap. I mean, that's the kind of deal that really you're jerking around with this Brandon Ayuk trade. That's the kind of deal you should have been looking to make.
Yeah, I would have done it. Now, how much is he an outside receiver in the NFL? He went to Penn State, was an outside receiver there. Maybe profiles more of a slot guy in the NFL. I mean, we've seen it so far in his career in Washington, but I would have made the move, especially because I think he's better than Van Jefferson even.
Well,
I think he's more talented than Van Jefferson might be the better way to put it.
Is Van Jefferson the Steelers' second best receiver?
With Roman Wilson hurt, yes.
And then it's a no-brainer because I think he's better than
Van Jefferson.
I think the Steelers have been, some of their fans have deluded themselves into believing that, again, I deal in reality. Van Jefferson's 4 or 5 years before he got to Pittsburgh, they weren't a lie. They weren't fiction.
No, he was not very good. He was okay at times with the Rams when he was another option with Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp.
Right.
Van Jefferson was the fourth guy. So he could eat at times because all the attention was painted towards one of the best receivers in football in Kupp. And a guy like Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, who have bounced around between teams,
right,
partly because they're still pretty good and can play.
Well, I mean, that's the biggest thing about it is we're supposed to just basically forget who Van Jefferson has been. We're supposed to forget that Calvin Watkins, outside of training camp, has never really done anything. Like, to me, this is the kind of deal that you could kind of do. Now, here's what the Eagles offense looks like right now. You tell me if you like it, okay? Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley at running back, A.J. Brown at receiver.
Really good.
Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, and then their tight end is Dallas Goedert.
That's a top five offense in the NFL.
You could make a case that they are better than the Steelers at every position.
Where would you not make the case?
I'm just saying. There might be some that might say tight end.
Dallas Goedert's better than Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah,
I think Freiermuth's going to have a good year in this offense. But wide running back, I don't think it's close. Barkley's a top five guy. Quarterback, it's not close. Even though Jalen Hurts has had some regression, he's better than these guys.
A.J. Brown is much better than George Pickens.
It's a runaway at wide receiver.
Yes, and then the other two guys are much better than them. So my point is, the Steelers could have made a deal like this. They could have went out and got a guy. There are going to be guys like this that are available. And they're wasting a lot of time if they don't get him trying to get Brandon Ayuk. I mean, it feels to me, and again, maybe I'm reading the situation wrong, but I don't think I am. It feels to me like Omar Khan put out sort of a lowball offer to the 49ers and is trying to run out the clock. In other words, trying to run out the clock from the standpoint of the 49ers and Ayuk's agent just decide they're at an impasse and they're never going to be able to make a deal. And so now the 49ers are desperate and have to trade him.
And the latest vernacular coming out of San Francisco, which, look, Paul, I don't know what to believe at this point.
Right.
I really don't with everything that's coming out of San Francisco and national guys that say different things depending on whatever outlet they're at. I think that Brandon Ayuk more than likely is going to stay in San Francisco and sign a deal. So that, again, makes you think, why wouldn't the Steelers pivot to an option like Jahan Dotson? Or at least have that in your back pocket in the event that you don't trade for Brandon Ayuk and pay him. Dotson's also cheaper, gives you more financial flexibility, which I know we use as like a Pirates term, but you used to have money to spend. Go get somebody. I'm not talking about another fourth wide receiver like Juju would be bringing in. But Jahan Dotson's a quality player.
Yeah.
It would have been a good addition.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, it's the kind of player, to me, that's probably available. You know, And there probably are a number of other guys like that that could be available city limits. I think that's the key. Like, when you look at that discussion, that's the key in my mind.
I mean, Dotson is a decent receiver. He's a guy that could factor into the offense as like a three. It's like a third option behind a George Pickens, behind a Pat Freiermuth. Plus, you have two backs. Plus, he signed for a couple more seasons.
Right.
Two more and, I think, an option. So, yeah, they have to pivot to something more like this. You're moving off of plan A to plan B and plan C.
Yeah.
Because at this point, San Francisco is just trying to wait you out, like the Steelers are trying to wait out San Francisco. And I think San Francisco has more leverage because it seems like Brandon Ayuk, if he gets the money from San Francisco, will just take the contract. As early on in the offseason, it seemed he was more evident to want a trade. He requested a trade and would have preferred to leave San Fran.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like some things have been changed, even though Kyle Shanahan came out and said the other day, I think it was yesterday, that there's no Brandon Ayuk update to give. I don't know. The more time that goes by, it's like challenges in the NFL. It's like challenges in baseball. Yeah. The longer it goes on, the more you think that the ultimate reality of the situation is going to be what we kind of all thought from the start, that he's going to stay.
Well, I'll tell you the other part of that, and I'll tell you the other thing about it. Sometimes these holdouts just become a guy just doesn't want to go through training camp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? The hell with it. I'm just going to hold out, and then when we get close to the season, bam, I'm in. But I think, like I said, there have been and there will be deals that can be made that are a lot cheaper and a lot less of a headache than going out and getting Brandon Ayuk. That's all I'm telling
you. Let me ask you this. Brandon Ayuk, you're going to pay him $30 million. Either team's going to pay him $30 million, plus give up a second-round pick for him. Where do you rank Brandon Ayuk in terms of top receivers in the NFL? Is he top 10? He's not top 5. Like, if you listed the top 5 wide receivers right now, Justin Jefferson is no doubt in it.
He's probably in the top 10 to 12.
Jamar Chase is in it, all just right off the top of my head.
He's probably in the top 10 to 12. I would say he's probably not a top 5 receiver, but he's probably in the top 10 to 12. And if you compare him to what the Steelers have, I mean, he would obviously be a huge upgrade. And I think the biggest problem the Steelers have is they don't seem to, or they didn't seem to. And I know we're not allowed to say this because, you know, we're all the con artist and all that other stuff. But it doesn't seem like they had a plan when they traded Deontay Johnson.
No, they didn't. They just wanted to get him out of the building.
They wanted to get him out of the building, but they didn't look at their depth chart and say, boy, if we get him out of the building, what are we replacing him with?
Omar Khan has done a fantastic job, but I do wonder if there was some overconfidence on his part when he traded Deontay Johnson away for Dante Jackson, a corner that was potentially going to get cut in Carolina.
Right.
That he was so confident they were going to land Brandon Ayuk that he thought it did not matter.
Right.
That he thought it would not matter if we trade Deontay Johnson now or hold on a little bit, because Deontay Johnson would be the key piece in a package going back to San Francisco, and this trade would be done if Deontay Johnson was still a member of the Steelers going into training camp. Because Johnson would be the wide receiver San Francisco is craving. He would be the guy that goes back to the Niners. The Steelers pay Ayuk. Probably do not have to give up as much draft capital because you're trading a Deontay Johnson in the deal. And cooler heads prevail. Everyone has their wide receivers and everyone moves along.
Right. They just don't seem to really get it. That's the only thing that bothers me is that they made a trade, and I'm okay with them trading away Deontay Johnson.
Me too.
But if you're going to trade away somebody who is a starter, somebody who's, for better or worse, been one of your better offensive players, you better have a plan. And I just don't know that they had a plan.
Well, I feel like if they did have a plan, and I would think Omar Khan did, that they were completely banking on Ayuk actually happening, or another deal with someone else like Metcalf
fell through. Or one of those deals like that, you're right.
Devontae Adams, where he was that confident. Oh, well, we'll get rid of Deontay Johnson. And I don't think anybody is, you know, completely throwing their hands to the wall because Deontay Johnson is gone. I would have moved off of him, too.
Right.
but the timing of it was not the best.
Yeah, 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler. Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather, Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with sunny skies. Jahan Dotson, when he was at Penn State, was really good. And he was a bit of a game breaker.
He's a first-round pick for a reason.
And so I feel like it's just kind of a waiting game. And it really is that when you think about it, we can't make a judgment until the season actually starts and we see what the roster is. But as of right now, with 2 weeks to go, which is why, as much as it pains me to agree with Screaming A. Smith and that goofball group, the Steelers are one of the teams that probably should be put on a two-week notice. Hey, it's you got two weeks until the season starts. You understand this, right?
Yeah, the wide receiver room is extremely frustrating.
Yes.
Extremely frustrating. And just not enough talent, but not enough proven commodities in that room as well. Like, I feel like we haven't talked about Calvin Austin at all, and he has been one of the main guys that seemingly every camp is named as a standout.
Right.
And we haven't talked about him at all this year. Dropped a pass in the end zone, hasn't really been great on punt returns. It's just kind of there in limbo. And he's not taking that next step. And Roman Wilson hasn't had the chance to take that next step because he can't get on the field.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.